Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I'm your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Prometheus to my aliens. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
J.J., on Tuesday, I was in the Cap Stanley Cup parade. You were getting sunburned on the bleachers.
Yeah, I got butchered.
Need I say more?
I got pretty bad.
You're red. You're red. You're the color of a Capitals jersey at the moment.
Yes, I was just trying to rock the red that day. I get two colors. I get white and I get red. I don't get anything in between. That's pretty much it.
This doesn't really translate that great to a podcast, but guys, it's hilarious.
Yes, I am your sunburn host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. We are here to talk about the parade. Tarik, we are just a few days after the parade. Actually, the parade was yesterday when we are recording. You, as you mentioned, had a special place in it. Tarik, tell us all about your experience in the parade.
Man, it was fun. I didn't expect to be in it. There were some other media members on our bus. It was mostly TV folk. But to be able to experience the parade from the perspective of the players, I mean, at one point, I was standing behind Braden Holtby and Lars Eller as they were waving at the fans. That was just cool because, you know, I had seen parades and other things from the side of the road. And, you know, a parade's a parade. It's pretty cool to experience, especially if you're into whatever is being celebrated from the side of the road. But when you're into what's being celebrated and you're actually on the float, or in this case, the bus, it's pretty awesome. You know, to watch the reaction of the players to the chants, you know, of their names that were coming from all the fans that were there, you could just really see a genuine connection between the players, the folks on the side of the road, and it was just an all-around great day.
It was an awesome experience, one that many of us thought would never happen. Where did you get to watch the stage portion?
I was actually pretty much on the stage. You just couldn't see me. I was like next to the steps that brought you onto the stage. I was like on the third step.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was on the opposite side.
So I was behind it. So I wasn't seeing what the fans were seeing. I was seeing the backs of their heads. Okay. So like where the players were seated, like I could have reached up and grabbed a player's ankle from where I was standing. So I had another weird perspective. I was really close to it. I could hear their chatter that I know other folks couldn't hear because, you know, it was far away from the microphones. So it was funny. I had to go watch the replay to see everything from the side that everyone else saw.
Yeah.
The speeches from. I was watching from the side and the back of their heads, which it was still very cool to be that close.
Yeah, it was very cool. I was on the opposite side, which turned out to be the wrong side, as everyone from the media found out, because then security wouldn't let us around to talk to the players afterwards. So, oh well. I thought overall it was a great day. It was a great parade. It was a great celebration. I loved the speeches. I loved how
the speeches
much fun
were awesome.
They were still having a blast up on that stage.
They were still drunk and having a great time. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, the players that were on my bus probably drank a total of 50 beers on that really short route. They're having a great time, as they should. I would say my favorite speech probably was Nick Backstrom, who sometimes tells too much of the truth. And he had a great line, and it was his last line, and it was kind of his kicker, and he came back to the microphone after walking away because he had forgotten what he was going to say, and he came back and he goes, "Finally, finally, guys, we played hockey the way we party," which was funny, but if you think about it, that was a little bit of a backhanded compliment at the fact that this team was known for enjoying itself maybe a little too much in its young gun days, and it took a decade for them to figure out that, hey, you know what? We should probably cave it up in the hotel in the visiting city and be ready to win our playoff series rather than having fun. But I loved that. I loved it.
I don't think he was referring to the last few days.
No.
I think that was
That was a reference to the Young Gun days.
And yeah, I don't know if that team could have won a final in Vegas. But who knows? We'll never know.
It might have been like another scene out of Hangover 4, like trying to find Alex in Vegas.
So the parade was awesome, but you know what? Tark, the party's over. And now, instead of marching down Constitution Avenue, the Caps are marching into the offseason. Wednesday was breakdown day, and we're going to have plenty of thoughts from the coaches, from the players, right after a word from our sponsor.
Welcome back. Well, Wednesday was the final media availability of the season, and so we talked to all the players and Barry Trotz and Brian McClellan and got all the scoops on what was going on this offseason. I wrote an article on NBCSportsWashington.com about the three biggest offseason questions, that being Barry Trotz, John Carlson, and Philip Grubauer. Let's start with the pending free agent head coach, Barry Trotz. Here is what he had to say about the possibility of staying in Washington, followed by Brian McClellan's thoughts about bringing Trotz back.
Well, I do want to be back. There's some things that we have to work out. There's some things that I've talked to Mac. If we can get them worked out, then there's no question. I love the group of guys. I love the the situation I'm in with the team, you know, the location for my son and my wife and all that. So all that's in place. There's some issues that we've got to just work through, and we will. And we'll go from there. We'll just work through it.
So you do expect to sign an extension?
We're talking about that.
And you'd want to keep your coaching staff as is?
There's a few issues that we have to go through.
I mean, I talked to Barry this morning. I'll talk to ownership over the next week or so, and we'll continue to discuss everything and see where it goes. I mean, I don't think either side feels any pressure. I mean, if it's both sides come to agreement and it works for both sides, it'll work.
He said there's some issues to work through when asked about the rest of his staff. I mean, do you anticipate the whole staff coming back, or might there be some changes there?
We're going to address each one as it comes. We'll see what happens with Barry, and then we'll go from there with his staff.
So it certainly sounds as if Trotz wants to be back and McClellan wants him back, but there's still a little bit of uncertainty about certain things. Most notably, I thought from those sound clips was Trotz's coaching staff there. But let's move on to John Carlson. First, we'll hear from Carlson on what he had to say about his pending free agency, and then we'll hear from Brian McClellan on his thoughts about possibly re-signing the star defenseman.
John, obviously the big question for this team going forward is whether you're going to re-sign here. How do you approach an off-season when this is the first time in a long time you've needed a new contract?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll talk and go from there. I don't really know what else to say other than that. And I love it here and all that. I want to stay here, but there's more to it than that.
Sure. Yeah, obviously there's money, John, but you said you talked about being here. What other factors, like playing with these guys? I mean, there's a lot that goes into a decision like that more than just money, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, this has been my home. I've lived here every summer since I've been here. And this is my home base, and obviously the guys that I've been around that, the experiences we've had, and, you know, I love the area, and that's, this is all I know.
Does the equation change a little bit because of the way the season ended?
I don't know. I haven't had any talks with anyone, so I don't know what you would like me to say. But I wish I had all the answers, and there'll be a process to get those answers.
We had a meeting, I can't remember, somewhere in the middle of the season with his agent, and we just both agreed to, you know, let's play out the season. When the season ends, we'll get in contact with each other. I would anticipate over the next week, we'll have, you know, a couple discussions going forward. I thought he had an outstanding year, played great in the playoffs. Would really like to have him back on the team.
Certainly sounds like if the salary cap rises as much as everyone expects, that a deal can get done there with Carlson, but we will have to see how that plays out. We'll hear more about the Capitals' goaltending situation right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Well, we've talked about Barry Trotz and we've talked about John Carlson, and that just leaves the situation in net for the Capitals, specifically backup goalie Philip Grubauer, who showed during the last part of the season that he is capable of being the number one when he took over the mantle for Braden Holtby. There are some reports of some interest out there for him from other teams. So let's hear what Brian McClellan had to say about possibly moving the German netminder, and then let's hear from Philip Grubauer himself about the possibility of being a number one somewhere else.
For Gruby, I think he wants to be a number one. I mean, it's just a personal thing for Gruby. I'd love to have Gruby back. I mean, we got two really good goaltenders. I just think he's at the point where he wants his own team. He wants to play. He wants to be the guy that is running the show for his own team, and I respect that.
Do you feel like you've proven you're a number one starter in this league?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, I tried to play my game and try to be consistent the last couple of years and win some games and get some points, and hopefully team, so like other people saw it, and that was my goal, to be a number one starter, or like to become number one starter. And
I mean, you're a restricted free agent this summer. How does that kind of feel, and how do you digest the situation you're in right now?
I think we're gonna celebrate a little bit longer and enjoy this moment, and then the draft is pretty soon, and I think things are gonna happen pretty soon. And but who knows, like, I'm still a restricted free agent. I don't know. I haven't talked to Mac yet, but we'll see. I'm sure something will happen.
Do you think he'll be traded?
I don't know. I can't say.
That, of course, was Philip Grubauer, who has not been shy about his desire to be a number one goalie in the NHL. And ultimately, that may be why he's moved, because if he's capable of being a number one goalie, somebody is going to be willing to pay a good price for him. And with Ilya Samsonov in tow, it looks like Grubauer's best shot will be somewhere else. Speaking of Ilya Samsonov, McClellan also had this to say about the Russian netminder's future when he comes to North America for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I think he needs time in Hershey. I mean, we'll start him in Hershey, I would anticipate, and see how he grows, see how he gets accustomed to the small rink, and hopefully we get some good coaching, get our guys in that work with him, and, you know, it'll be up to him. I think he'll adapt fairly quickly, given his skill set.
So it sounds like Samsonov is going to at least start the season in Hershey, which makes sense. He needs to get used to the North American game. But that leaves just one more question in net for the Capitals, and that is what they do about a backup, should Philip Grubauer, in fact, be moved. Well, Phoenix Copley still has 1 year left on his deal, so I asked Brian McClellan whether or not he envisioned him being the backup next season, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think he's capable of it. You know, obviously he's unproven. I think he's done what he could do at the American League level. Got through probably a little bit of a tough patch this year, recovering from an injury. But I think he has potential to be that guy, yes.
So there you have it. If Philip Grubauer is in fact moved, that would leave the backup spot open, and that certainly sounds as if Phoenix Copley will fill that role at least to start next season, and then we'll see where it goes from there. those, of course, were the most notable moments from the final breakdown day of the Capitals, of their Stanley Cup championship season. Of course, there are a lot more storylines coming from that day, and we have all the coverage for you on NBCSportsWashington.com, so be sure to check it all out there. And of course, we will have coverage for you on the Capitals all summer long, a much shorter summer than usual, but hey, I think we'll all take it. We'll all take a shorter summer just to see them with that Stanley Cup. Pretty cool moment from this team, pretty cool season from this team. It was really fun to cover for you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed our coverage as much as we enjoyed covering it for you. And now it's into the off season. Speaking of the off season, we need to bring the mailbag back. I see the emails piling up. Don't worry, we are going to get to those as soon as possible. I hope to have a mailbag pod at the start of next week before the draft. So hopefully we will answer a bunch of your questions there. If you still have questions, please keep sending them in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com, and we will answer them on the next mailbag pod. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. For Tarik El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.